Can't you remember? It's been so long. Only 10 years, that's all, only 10. Don't get excited, I'm trying to think. She laughed an odd little laugh that went up and up. Funny, how funny not to remember where or when you met your husband or wife. He lay massaging his eyes, his brow, and the back of his neck slowly. He held both hands over his eyes and applied a steady pressure there as if to crush memory into place. It was suddenly more important than any other thing in a lifetime that he know where he had met Mildred. It doesn't matter. She was up, in the bathroom now, and he heard the water running and the swallowing sound she made. No, I guess not, he said. He tried to count how many times she swallowed, and he thought of the visit from the two zinc oxide-faced men with the cigarettes in their straight-line mouths and the electronic-eyed snake winding down into the layer upon layer of night and stone and stagnant spring water, and he wanted to call out to her, how many have you taken tonight, the capsules, how many will you take later and not know, and so on, every hour, or maybe not tonight, tomorrow night, and me not sleeping tonight or tomorrow night or any night for a long while now that this has started, and he thought of her lying on the bed with the two technicians standing straight over her, not bent with concern, but only standing straight, arms folded. And he remembered thinking then that if she died, he was certain he wouldn't cry, for it would be the dying of an unknown, a street face, a newspaper image, and it was suddenly so very wrong that he had begun to cry, not at death, but at the thought of not crying at death, a silly, empty man near a silly, empty woman, while the hungry snake made her still more empty. How do you get so empty? He wondered. Who takes it out of you? And that awful flower the other day, the dandelion. It had summed up everything, hadn't it? What a shame. You're not in love with anyone. And why not? Well, wasn't there a wall between him and Mildred when you came down to it? Literally not just one wall, but so far, three. And expensive, too. And the uncles, the aunts, the cousins, the nieces, the nephews that lived in those walls. The gibbering pack of tree apes that said nothing, 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 and said it loud, loud, loud. He had taken to calling them relatives from the very first. How's Uncle Lewis today? Who? And Aunt Maud. The most significant memory he had of Mildred, really, was of a little girl in a forest without trees. How odd. Or rather, a little girl lost on a plateau where there used to be trees. You could feel the memory of their shapes all about. Sitting in the center of the living room. The living room. What a good job of labeling that was now. No matter when he came in, the walls were always talking to Mildred. Something must be done. Yes, something must be done. Well, let's not stand and talk. Let's do it. I'm so mad I could spit! What was it all about? Mildred couldn't say. Who was mad at whom? Mildred didn't quite know. What were they going to do? Well, said Mildred, wait around and see. He had waited around to see. A great thunderstorm of sound gushed from the walls. Music bombarded him at such an immense volume that his bones were almost shaken from their tendons. He felt his jaw vibrate, his eyes wobble in his head. He was a victim of concussion. When it was all over, he felt like a man who had been thrown from a cliff, whirled in a centrifuge and spat out over a waterfall that fell and fell into emptiness, and never quite touched bottom. Never, never quite, no, not quite, touched bottom. And you fell so fast you didn't touch the sides either. Never quite touched anything. The thunder faded. The music died. There, said Mildred. And it was indeed remarkable. Something had happened. Even though the people in the walls of the room had barely moved and nothing had really been settled, you had the impression that someone had turned on a washing machine or sucked you up in a gigantic vacuum. You drowned in music and pure cacophony. He came out of the room sweating and on the point of collapse. Behind him, Mildred sat in her chair, and the voices went on again.